Virgil Crook, Wednesday, December 14th, 2011.
You can open your Bibles to Psalm 126. We'll read verses 5 and 6. About 15 months ago, started a short series on the seven joys of a believer. Anybody remember that? Depends on what term your memory's in. You know, sometimes it's short term, sometimes long term gone. Anyway, that was 15 months ago. Seven joys of the believer, and if my memory serves right, I think we got to the first three. The first one was the joy of forgiveness. The second was the joy of fellowship. Because of forgiveness, we have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and one with another. And the third was the joy of living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. As we live in the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit, our fellowship is enhanced. It's sweeter than if we didn't. Tonight we'll consider the joy of faithful service to the Lord. Joy of faithful service to the Lord. Being filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit gives us power and ability to serve the Lord faithfully with joy. And we're not talking just about serving the Lord, but serving the Lord with joy. Why does God give us power and fill us with the Holy Spirit? What is the one, at least one of those purposes is, according to Acts 1:8, that we could be witnesses and serve Him faithfully and effectually. We'll start with a question, and I don't want you to answer it or Well, what you need to do when the preacher asks a question, you need to learn to have a Botox face so that he can't tell really how you're answering inside. The question is, what is our attitude towards serving the Lord? What is our attitude towards serving the Lord? Do we do it with joy? And I'll start with another question. How many of you, again, you don't have to answer this. How many of you have a job that you enjoy going to and being involved in each and every day? Those of you that have jobs, do you enjoy what you're doing? A lot of times we work. You got to work. But sometimes we work at a job that it's a job. Other times we work at a job that we really like. So we get up in the morning with anticipation. Not just, oh man, I got to go to work today. But we get up with anticipation. I don't know whether any of you have ever eaten at the Texas Roadhouse. We do every once in a while. And I notice on there, they're not real fancy. And the people that serve wear T-shirts. And on the back it says, I love my job. I don't know whether they do or not. But that's what the T-shirt says, I love my job. I know my wife loves her job. She talks about it all the time. And she's getting advanced in age. That's a tough one. What are you going to say? Luckily everybody's got their shoes on, right? But anyway, you know, she really ought to retire, but I don't think she will. She likes her job. She goes to her job, and there's a lot of things I know she doesn't like about it. She deals with some pretty weird people at times. But anyway, I know that she loves her job. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now this is the joy of faithful service to the Lord. Notice that the sowing is done with tears, and sowing with tears speaks of dedication and faithfulness. There's a lot of heartache and headache and opposition involved in serving the Lord faithfully. Bearing fruit, as the Word of God explains it to us, is not easy. Serving the Lord is serious business. Most of God's people don't take it seriously, but it is. And we need to remember that we are all called to serve the Lord in one way or another. Let's turn to John 15 and verse 16 and notice the words of Jesus to his disciples. Now, I realize that these disciples were, in a sense, kind of special people. But are we not also disciples of Christ? Are we not followers of Christ? He said to them in John 15:16, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you, that your fruit should remain. That's the reason that Jesus called these disciples, not just so they could get out of work or in some other kind of work. He called them that they would go forth and bear fruit. Going forth and bearing fruit is simply another way of saying serving the Lord. That's how we bear fruit. And each of us should desire to have fruit that remains. I don't believe it's a coincidence, and nor should we pass over lightly that phrase, that your fruit should remain. It's fruit that will not go up in flames when it's tried by God. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, speaks of works that will be gone, that will go up in flame, save so as be by fire. But that's not kind of the kind of works that we want. Let's turn to Joel 2, verse 17 in the Old Testament, where he emphasizes the weeping part of serving the Lord. It might sound glamorous to be a servant of the Lord or to serve the Lord, but there is much weeping, there is much dedication that is necessary if we're going to serve him as we should. Joel 2 and verse 17, let the priests who minister to the Lord or who serve the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? It's a plea that these ministers would take the situation seriously. Ministering or serving the Lord, as I said, is a serious business, because we're not dealing with just temporary situations or things of this earth. What we deal with is eternity. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6:5. We're going to read quite a few scriptures this evening. Among God's people, those who are faithful to serve the Lord are the minority. Now, there's a lot that pretend to serve the Lord, and they seem to be serving the Lord, and they talk about serving the Lord. But the point here is to serve God faithfully. And there are few of God's people that serve the Lord faithfully out of a pure heart. Unfortunately, most people fit the description that Paul gives here in 1 Timothy 6:5, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, who suppose that godliness, that serving God, living a separated life, living a godly life, and serving God is a means of gain. Paul says, from such, withdraw yourself. Now make no mistake, God will pay. God does pay good, but not in the way that we think of sometimes, and not in the way that most people want to be paid. This is the attitude of so many who pretend to serve the Lord. Let's turn to Proverbs 20 and verse 6. This is nothing new, what Paul writes here to his spiritual son Timothy. Certainly is not something new that just popped up in his day. There were many who supposed that this service to God was a way to gain, that is, earthly gain. Yes, there is gain, but not earthly gain. In Proverbs 20, verse 6, we have the question, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? I'm going to read that in a different translation. Many people profess their loyalty. This is the New English translation. Many people profess their loyalty, but a faithful person, who can find one? And again, we're talking here not that nobody's faithful, but as far as the percentage is concerned, it's very low. Those who are truly faithful in their service to the Lord and serve him out of a pure heart are very, very few. The enemy fights, and he does all that he can to put obstacles in the way of those who want to be faithful and who desire God's best in their lives. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. We're going to read here what Paul told the Thessalonians would be the consequences of a faithful life of separation. What do you have to look forward to if you really, truly want to live a separated life? If you really want to serve God as He wants you to serve, what do you have to look forward to? I'm reading here from the Amplified in 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and godly life. I like the way that the Amplified amplifies this phrase, determined to live a devoted and godly life in Christ Jesus, will meet persecution, will be made to suffer because of their religious stand. And the Message paraphrase is a little more direct and blunt, as it always is in its translation or in its paraphrase. It paraphrases it this way. Anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. This is just putting it in plain everyday English. Anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it. There's no getting around it. There's no other way. There's no other way. Are we determined to live a godly life, a faithful service to the Lord? Do we serve the Lord just because that's kind of the way things happen? You know, it's kind of the way things worked out that way. No, those that serve the Lord faithfully are determined. They're determined to live a devoted and godly life. And it's true, those who want to serve God, those who seek God's best, will suffer trials and tribulations. If you can turn there real quickly to Psalm 34, verse 19, David says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. But when it's all said and done, this is the way of the greatest joy in this life and that to come. Let's turn to Isaiah 9. We'll read here verses 2 and 3. Just to sort of tie in with Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. The theme there was the preparing, the sowing, and then the harvest. The harvest, that's great. That's what the farmer looks forward to, is the harvest. But there can be no harvest if there isn't sowing. Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And then verse 3, you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. The comparison that Isaiah makes here is what they all understood, the ones that he wrote to, because they were an agricultural society, and there was much joy at harvest time. So harvest time is a time of joy, but there can be no harvest without the toil of preparing, planting, and caring for the plant. Turning to Galatians 6 and verse 9, this may well have been what Paul had in mind when he wrote these words. Paul knew Israel's history. He knew that they, in times past and even in his day, were an agricultural nation. And that's where many of if you go back to the book of Leviticus, you'll find that's where many of the feasts were that's what they were kept around, was harvest time. In Galatians 6, 9, Paul gives us a very necessary exhorting. Let us not grow weary while doing good. Let us not grow weary while doing good. In due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. It's the same theme, the same Old Testament setting, if you can think of it that way, of the farmer who goes out and toils in the field. A farmer at the end of the day, I don't know about nowadays with air-conditioned tractors and combines and and they've got a lot of modern equipment nowadays, but I remember my father-in-law, and the only time I ever saw him, he was dirty. He was a dirty old man, but it was dirt from the ground because he worked hard. He toiled, and I'm sure that he wept a lot along the way also. That's the way it is when you're sowing the seed, but you do it with joy. Even though it's it's toil, you still look forward to a harvest. Psalm 30, verse 5. Thank God that it's not all bad. It's not all toil, sweat, and tears, though that is part of it. There's no doubt about that. Psalm 30 and verse 5. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. This is the hope of the gospel. Yes, I can't promise you anything else. If you want to serve God faithfully, if you are determined, if you're determined you're going to serve the Lord and live a separated godly life and be a true witness for Christ, then the only thing that I can tell you, you're going to suffer. There's going to be persecutions, there's going to be tribulations, there's going to be trials. You're going to suffer. But as Paul tells us in his Gospels, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Even in the midst of all of this heartache, there is joy, as we remember that joy comes in the morning. And how often has that been what sustains us in times of weeping, in times of difficulty, in times of trial, as we remember the promise of the Word of God? The greatest joy, of course, will come on the other side. May the Lord give us always a spiritual vision, an eternal vision of things to come. The morning of heavenly bliss. But even now in this life, in spite of all that's to the contrary, there is joy in serving the Lord. I've known many people in my lifetime who during their lifetime served the Lord faithfully. And I've never known a one of them to ever tell me or even to indicate what a sad deal it was. I've served the Lord for so many years. It's been a real trial. It's been tough. That's not what I've heard. Maybe you've heard that. I don't know. I'm sure there's some people that'll tell you that. But the ones that I have been around have told me and shown me with their life what a joy it is to serve the Lord. Let's turn to Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Because if you're here tonight and you've never been discouraged and you've never been where you're just not normal. You're not a normal Christian. Because if you're serving the Lord, if you're living a life dedicated to Him, you're going to come to these times. So because of these hardships and the opposition and serving the Lord faithfully, we're prone to become weary, and this happened to Jeremiah. And he states it here in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. He'd been faithfully giving out the message. He'd been faithfully serving the Lord. He'd been faithful. I don't know of any failure that's connected with Jeremiah and his life and his testimony, his ministry. But he came to this point. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name. This is the point that Jeremiah came to. He came to a point in his life, a moment in his life, when he says, I'm not going to even mention Jehovah again. I believe that Jeremiah was weary along the road. You know the rest of the story, so to speak. That's what he thought he would do, and he had sort of determined in his heart to do that, but in the final analysis, he couldn't. But it is so tempting and easy to grow weary in serving the Lord faithfully, especially if you want to live according to the truth of God's Word. I don't have to tell you, you know from experience, that it grows wearisome to constantly not compromise the truth. It would be so much easier to serve the Lord if we could just compromise a little bit here and there, but we can't. You cannot serve the Lord as you ought and compromise the truth. Those who do not compromise the truth are so few that you find yourself in a very small company. And I don't know about you, but to me that's depressing. I do not like to separate myself from God's people. If I could, I would embrace every child of God wholeheartedly all the time. But I can't, because I want to follow the truth of God's word. And those who don't want to go that route, I cannot fellowship them. So it's worry. To me, it's a worrisomeness. It's a, how many times here as well as Paraguay and other places, that's been part of the weeping, is the fact that at this point in my life, there are many whom I fellowshipped before who I cannot fellowship. And it's wearisome. It's wearisome. It's so easy to fall into the trap of God's people as we see. Let's turn to Malachi 3 and verse 14. Because it's easy for us to fall into this trap of the enemy. As we see here in Malachi 3:14, we see the attitude that Israel exhibited when God in his grace and his mercy and his loving kindness brought them back to the land after the captivity. After the 70 years of captivity, they were brought back to the land. And when Malachi wrote these words, they were in the land. They had returned to worshiping Jehovah. But notice this in verse 14. You have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts. Where has it gotten us? Here we are. It's useless to serve God. There's no profit in it. Have you ever been tempted to think that way? I have. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been tempted. What's the profit in it? Why be so narrow-minded with the truth? You know, why not open the arms and embrace a little bit more, huh? Well, in spite of all that God had done for them, opening up the way back to their homeland, giving them a place to worship, their own homes to live in, they didn't see any profit in serving God. What an attitude to have towards the one who only thinks of our well-being at all times. In Jeremiah 29:11, God himself declares that his thoughts for Israel and his thoughts for us are always thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But they had allowed the enemy to tempt them into thinking that it was useless to serve God. There's no profit to it. Many of God's people do not experience the full joy of serving the Lord because their loyalty is divided. Let's turn to Luke 16 and read verse 13. Remember what we read in Proverbs. Many people profess their loyalty. Many of God's people profess to be loyal to him. But a faithful person? Who can find one? Luke 16 and verse 13, and once again I'm going to read from the Amplified. No servant is able to serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, that is, riches, or anything in which you trust and on which you rely. Not just riches as such, not just money, but anything. I like the amplification here of the meaning. Anything in which you trust and on which you rely. Trying to serve God, but at the same time serving self or some other whatever. So the loyalty is divided, and so there is no joy. And I can say from my own experience, that is, to this point in my life, I have never regretted the choice that I made as a young person to serve the Lord. I made that choice when I was still at home, when I was still under my parents' roof, so to speak. I made that choice. It was a one-time choice at that particular, I'm talking about the direction to take. And I've never regretted the individual choices that I've made along the way to serve the Lord in specific situations and opportunities. I made the choice. This is the way I'm going to go. But when you start going that way, there are still choices to be made. May the Lord help us to always make the right choice of faithful service to Him. I rejoice in any opportunity that the Lord has given me to serve Him. I'm not picky. It makes me no difference what it is or where it is. You know, like we're economically, we're in a situation where people are looking for jobs, but, you know, there's a job there, but hey, I don't want to do that. You know, don't have anything to eat, nothing on the table, offering you something, I don't want to do that. But that's, sometimes we're kind of picky that way as to our service to the Lord. I'll serve the Lord, but in this way or in that way. I really don't care. If the Lord gives me an opportunity to serve Him, by His grace, I will serve the Lord. And the reason is that there is no greater joy in all of this life than serving the Lord. I wished I could explain it to you. I don't know how to explain the joy that I have when I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do. I've had many, many, many experiences in my life that have brought me joy. And when I got married, that was a joyous occasion. I still remember that. I haven't forgot it. I know the day. I know the place. It's been almost 50 years. But it was a joy, and it still is. It's joy. And of course, after we got married, children started coming along. You know, the first one, that's just a bundle, a whole big old bundle of joy. But you know, the second one, and the third one, and the fourth one, and the fifth one, and the... Is that all? Just five? Five. But you know, those were occasions of joy. They really were. And then grandkids and great kids. I guess there's no end to it. But anyway, it is something that does give us joy and has given me joy. There have been other situations that have given me joy, but the greatest joy that I've ever experienced is simply serving the Lord. Not doing anything spectacular, but just serving the Lord. Let's turn to Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua 24, 15, probably most of you know it by heart. This is one of the principal verses upon which my wife and I established our marital relationship. It has guided us through the years, and I find it to be sound advice. Joshua 14, verse 15, Joshua speaking to the multitude, and he says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, you know, if it isn't worth it, hey, I'm not going to push you to do it. I'm not going to obligate you to do it. There's no obligation, by the way, to serve the Lord. You don't have to. I guess I should have made that statement in the beginning. You don't have to serve the Lord. But you do if you want to experience the full joy of the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Make your choice. Choose who you want to serve. But Joshua went on record, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Those words have rung loudly in my heart many, many times. We will serve the Lord. And I like Joshua's resolve. Not we would like to serve the Lord, or I know we should serve the Lord, and if it's not too difficult, we might eventually serve the Lord, or when certain criteria are met, then we plan to serve the Lord. These are the ways that, without necessarily coming out and saying it, that's the way we think. Joshua said without any reservation or qualification, we will serve the Lord. Now, this is not a stubborn, self-reliant, grit-your-teeth resolve. That's not what it's about. But it's a resolve based on God's word, commands, promises, and enabling. That's why Joshua could say, we will serve the Lord. That's why I can say, I will serve the Lord. That's why you can say, you will serve the Lord. As Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And certainly one of those all things is to serve the Lord. The all things in this verse means all things within the will of God. And I am very solidly, firmly convinced it is God's will for me to serve Christ. It's not just God's will for me to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and become a son of God. I believe that it's God's will for me to serve the Lord. And I don't have to serve him as a missionary on some foreign land somewhere. Thank God for the privilege I've had to do that, and I don't regret it. But I'm not doing a whole lot right now. You know, every once in a while I preach or sing or something. But it makes no difference to me. I'm serving the Lord. And whatever, until the Lord calls me home or until Jesus comes, that's what I want to do. I don't need anything else, just the opportunity to serve God, because I know that it's God's will. And it's God's will for you and me to serve the Lord at all times and at all costs. God will give the ability and the strength to serve him faithfully, willingly, and godly. There is joy in knowing you are doing the will of God. And no other earthly activity gives more joy and satisfaction than faithfully serving the Lord. Have I had heartaches, headaches, troubles, and trials because of serving the Lord? Yes, I most certainly have. Have I had many disappointments because of serving the Lord? Yeah, I sure have. Not from him, not from the Lord, but from other sources. Have I had times of doubt? Yes, I've had times of doubt. I've not always seen clearly nor understood everything that was happening. But I would not change any of it for anything nor everything in the world. It gives me joy to serve the Lord. One of the scriptures that have always spoken to my heart, let's read that as we're proceeding to close, Philippians 2:17. These words have always been an inspiration to me to faithfully serve the Lord. Philippians 2, verse 17, Paul writes, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, because Paul was faithful in his ministry, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. You know the life of Paul. I'm sure you've read it many times and heard it preached from the pulpit, what kind of a life Paul lived. Many heartaches, many hardships, fightings within and without, many ways that we could describe it and which he does describe his life. But he says, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Paul didn't think it was vain to serve the Lord. He didn't think it was vain to serve the Lord. To the contrary, his sacrifice and service was his joy. I am glad and rejoice with you all. He knew there was profit. There was eternal profit in serving the Lord, and he did it joyously and willingly. In 1 Corinthians 9:17, he makes it plain, for if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. If I do this willingly. Don't wait for God to twist your arm or to put you in some sort of a situation where you have to serve him. That's not what God wants. He wants you and I to be willing to serve Him, to do whatever, whatever. May God give us eyes to see what there is to do in God's service. Psalm 100, we'll end with this verse. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. I count it a privilege to serve the Lord in any capacity. And it doesn't have to be preaching. I don't have the preacher's itch. It doesn't have to be in front of people. I'm just discontent to do things where nobody knows and nobody sees. It doesn't make any difference to me. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Don't fake it. If you're not happy serving the Lord, don't fake it. Let the Lord work in your life. Bring you to that point where you serve the Lord with gladness. There's a chorus that we sing sometimes. I will serve thee. I will serve thee because I love thee. Our service is a service of love, and that's where the joy comes from. Don't you get joy out of doing things for those that you love, especially for those that you love? That's where we're at. This is Christmas, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. It's what everybody in the whole world's supposed to be doing. But a lot of it's fake, so don't be too impressed. But you do. You get extra joy out of doing something for someone that you love. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fall in love with Him. It'll be easy to serve Him. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You've given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. I'm going to quote the words of a song written by Oswald J. Smith. The title of it is Joy in Serving Jesus. I don't know if I've ever sung it or heard it sung in English, but we sing it quite often in Spanish. It's been translated into Spanish, and we sing it quite often. It goes this way. There is joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way. Joy that fills my heart with praises every hour and every day. There is joy in serving Jesus, joy that triumphs over pain, fills my heart with heaven's music till I join the glad refrain. There is joy in serving Jesus as I walk along with God. 'Tis the joy of Christ my Savior, who the path of suffering trod. There is joy in serving Jesus, joy amid the darkest night, for I've learned the wondrous secret and am walking in the light. And the chorus goes this way. There is joy, joy, joy. Joy in serving Jesus, joy that throbs within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I draw upon His power, there is joy, joy, joy that never shall depart. I trust that that is your testimony tonight. Let's stand and be dismissed.